concentrating on the building itself, which you remember we have remarked several times was made of golden boards. But I want you to notice carefully, because we'll be explaining that, you cannot see any of those golden boards. Now, there's a very important spiritual message in that. You can see a little of the pillars there in the door that were upholding the door. But as to the boards that's made up, and there were 48 of them, you cannot see any of them. Now, you remember in our last study, we were looking at the foundation of the tabernacle, and we saw that these boards were firmly fixed in sockets of silver. Those sockets of silver gave them stability and separated them from the sand of the desert. Now, what we're looking at tonight is the covering. Two sets of curtains and two coverings. Now, you may be able to see that the artist here has fastened the two outer curtains, coverings, with cords and pins like a tent. Now, that's purely imaginary. There's nothing about that at all in the scriptures. And in reading through this book that I had to purchase to secure these pictures, I have been quite annoyed at the inaccuracies that I have come across. This, the writer of it actually suggests that the priest lived under these coverings at the side of the tabernacle. Now that, of course, is utterly ridiculous. They lived in tents at the eastern side. We are told very definitely about that. But whether they were drawn out like that, like a tent, we do not know. Certainly Scripture does not say so. I believe that they were hanging down the side of the building itself. But at least you get an idea now. And look at the building. I remind you again that outwardly, it will look very, very ordinary. A covering there, all you can see there is the covering of badger skin, which would be very ordinary looking. Now we'll take a... We'll turn that one. I'll bring it back to you. There you are. Thank you. Now, they're thrown back here. This is the only other picture we'll be looking at, so we'd like you to look carefully at it. You see the outer one, a badger skin, has been thrown back. That would be all that you would see in looking at the tabernacle. Underneath, you have the covering of ram skins dyed red. Under that, you have the curtains of goat's hair. Although I believe here again, there is quite an important error made. I do not believe that these goat's hair curtains were white. I believe they were black. Now, quite a number of models that I've seen and pictures, colored pictures, show them as white. We are accustomed to the majority of goats in the West here are white or reasonably white at least. But I understand that the goats in the Middle East are all black. I know that on our trip, we did not see any white goats. When I saw the first Bedouin shepherd with his flock of sheep and goats, what impressed me was that the goats were black and the sheep were white. And it brought before me Matthew chapter 25. Now, one does not learn everything by any means on one trip to the Middle East, but after careful research, I am told that it's quite a rarity to find a white goat in the Middle East. And so I believe that that curtain there, the third one, should be black. Then you have the beautiful curtain of fine, fine linen with the needlework of blue and purple and scarlet and the figures of the cherubims worked on it. Now just take one look again at it. You can see there now that he's thrown back. I want you to notice that the multicolored one, the last one, the one nearest to us here, does not extend all the way down. So you can see a little bit of the golden boards underneath. But you notice the next one, the white one, the goat pair, it does go all the way down to the bottom, covering all of us. Now we'll have the lights, please, and we'll look at the spiritual lesson. I think this is a lovely picture. I hope you get in your mind now, not just the picture we've been looking at, but think of those golden boards. In the will of the Lord, I'll be speaking on that Sunday morning. And I will point out that they bring before us in a beautiful way the Christian, the one who has come to Christ and is now a member of the true church. Because the tabernacle in the wilderness was the dwelling place of God in that day amongst his people, it symbolizes in a very beautiful way the church of God today, which according to the last verse of Ephesians chapter 2 is the habitation of God by the Spirit. Now, we will see Sunday morning about these boards being built in to this tabernacle structure. But as I pointed out tonight, you couldn't see them. Get the picture. Think of yourself as one of those golden boards. And beneath, between you as a board and the sand, holding you up and separating you from the sand that was all around, would be those silver sockets. You remember? 114 pounds each. Two of them under each board. 228 pounds of solid silver holding up each one of those boards. Is it any wonder that we will read of the boards that they were standing up? But I'll leave that until Sunday morning. But now that's what was underneath. But over top, completely covering and obscuring and protecting these boards were these four sets of coverings. Two sets of curtains, two skin coverings. Now, that brings before us what to me is a beautiful picture of that expression we get so frequently in the Epistle to the Ephesians, in Christ. In Christ, in Him, that's who we are. And thinking of this, if you get the mental picture, I believe it will give you a beautiful sense of where you are now in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's imagine we're approaching the tabernacle as it pitched there at Mount Sinai or somewhere else on the journey toward the Promised Land. We approach it. And as we look at the tabernacle itself, all we see, as I pointed out when we're looking at that picture, all we would see would be that badger skin covering. Now, we don't know exactly what that was. There's some difficulty in connection with the Hebrew word. The Revised Version translates seal skin. There's only one other place in your Bible that you get the word. That's in Ezekiel chapter 16, where you have the expression, God says, I shod thee with badger skin. So apparently it was something like our leather. You know, something like we would use for shoes. So it'd be a rough, unattractive, but protective covering. And as you looked at that tabernacle covered with that in the wilderness, you might say, if you'd been an inhabitant of the wilderness in those days, you might say, well, there's nothing remarkable about that. I've seen plenty of badgers, or whatever they were. I've seen plenty of those. That looks just the same. There's nothing attractive there to me. And that brings before us, first of all, the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth, there was nothing physically attractive about him. As I have remarked before, we must dismiss from our minds these pictures we've seen of our Lord Jesus on his earth with a halo around his head. He just looked like an ordinary Galilean peasant. I doubt very much if he would have attracted any attention just walking down the street. You remember they said of him, is this the carpenter's son? And away back in the prophecy of Isaiah, he is likened to a root out of a dry ground, so that when we shall see him, there is no form nor comeliness. There was no beauty, says the prophet, that we should desire him. Just like that outward, unattractive, badger skin covering the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look. Now I said, look. Just like other men. It looked like, but it was not. We are told in Romans chapter 8 and verse 3 that he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. That is, so far as his outward appearance was concerned, he looked just like a man. But he was only in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was not in sinful flesh. There was no sin in him, just as there was no sin on him, until he took our sins on the cross of Calvary. You may have noticed in our reading here that out of the 14 verses that we looked at, 13 of them had to do with the curtains. Only one of them with the two coverings. Now everything like that in Scripture is important. And I'm going to suggest this. I want to show you that those two outer coverings bring before us, I believe, our Lord Jesus Christ in his life here on earth. But the curtains bring before us Christ in his death and his resurrection. Now, which does the Bible tell us most about? There are only two of the four Gospels that tell us anything about his birth. There's only one chapter in the four Gospels that tell us anything about those 30 years of his life. And practically all of the emphasis is on the death and resurrection of our Lord. It has been pointed out that if we had the life of Christ, just the life of Christ, if we had that in the same detail that we have his last week on earth, including his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his appearances, if we had the rest of his life given to us in the same detail as we have the last week of his life, it would take 40 Bibles, that is 40 books, the size of our Bible, to tell us about the life of Christ alone. So that the emphasis is on the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we learn, first of all, from the badger skin covering, that outwardly, the life of our Lord Jesus Christ looked just like another man. Now, we're all aware that he performed miracles. We all know that he spake as never man spake. But we're just looking at things from a purely natural human standpoint. He looked just like another man. Nothing attractive about him. Nothing awe-inspiring by any means about the person of the man Jesus. But underneath that badger skin, the way it was drawn right over the tabernacle, I believe hung down the side, there are no dimensions given. There's no description of either one of these coverings. But underneath that badger skin covering, unseen by man, except those who put it on the tabernacle when they were erecting it, but unseen to the eye of man, there was that a covering of ram skins dyed red. Now, those of you who are here for our study on the consecration of the priesthood may remember that there was great emphasis in that consecration ceremony on the ram. There was the ram of consecration. I think it's about 14 times in that 29th chapter where you have that consecration. I believe about 14 times you have reference made to the ram of consecration. So I believe we're perfectly scriptural when we think of this ram skin covering as bringing before us the consecration, the total, complete consecration of our Lord Jesus Christ to the will of God. You see, man couldn't see that. God saw. Man saw the outward covering of badger skin. God saw beneath that the ram skin covering. God saw beneath that earthly life of our Lord Jesus Christ that total consecration to the will of God. Do you remember when they found the young lad back there at Jerusalem? And when Mary thoughtlessly rebuked him? You remember what he said? Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Even as a young lad, he was totally consecrated to the will of his Father in heaven. You remember he said on one occasion, I do always those things that please the Father. Again he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And you have in the Psalm 40, a prophetic psalm, you have that which is quoted in Hebrews chapter 10, I believe about verse 7. You have our Lord saying prophetically, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. And you remember in that great high priestly prayer, he could say, John 17, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. What delight our Lord, our God in heaven, Father in heaven, must have looked upon that one who was just considered a man by his contemporaries. But God saw beneath. God saw total consecration to his will. What a beautiful covering that wear that red skin, that red ram skin was. Dyed red because that total consecration took him to Calvary. You remember Philippians 2? He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. All the way to the cross. May I just interject this? Others looking at your life can only see your actions, can only hear your words and judge that. And you may be misjudged. But remember,
God looks below the surface. God may see in some of you the ram skin of total dedication to the will of God. That's what counts. It isn't what man sees, it's what God sees. God grant that every one of us, no matter how merely human we might look like on the outside, God grant that every one of us may inwardly, in the eyes of God, have the red ram skin of total dedication. Well, let's look a little deeper. Because that's the wonderful thing about the Lord Jesus. You never get to the end of the wonders that are in Him. You turn back the badger skin, there's the ram skin. You turn back the ram skin, and there's the goat head. God commanded them to make this curtain, these curtains. There were 11 of them, and they were to be made from goat's hair. 5 of them were fastened together, and 6 of them were fastened together. Now, I'm not going to go into the technicality of the actual dimensions on that, but those are given to us in Scripture, in this chapter here, very carefully. Let me say this, that while we have no dimensions as to the 2 coverings, we can be sure they would cover the whole thing. But now when it comes to the goat's hair, the 3rd layer down, as it were, it covered everything this way, across the top, down the side, and down the back. The back was the western end, you see. Of course, it didn't come down over the front. Yes, it did. It came down 1 cubit, because it only took 10 of these curtains to cover all the top, like this, and down the back, 10 cubits, 30 cubits, that's 40, isn't it? But there were 11. And so you had another cubit and a half here. 1 curtain on the front. Remember that beautiful door with its pillars? God says, now you take that curtain that's hanging down there, just a cubit and a half, you take that and you double it back, but leave it hanging there. Now that would seem remarkable. If it were black, as I'm convinced it was, it would seem rather remarkable, wouldn't it? There you have a beautiful door, that lovely curtain, suspended there on those golden posts, 5 of them. And then you have that black curtain across the top. That's all you can see of it. All the rest is hidden, but there it is. Now, to anyone who knows their Bible, their Old Testament, I think that the goat immediately brings to your mind the great day of atonement. You're all familiar with that. It's been preached many times. The 2 goats that were brought on Yom Kippur, the great day of atonement, the one killed as a sin offering, the other uses a scapegoat to carry the sins and figure away into the wilderness. And so you have the work of Christ in making atonement, taking the place of guilty sinners like you and me, dying under the judgment of God for those sins, and carrying our sins away into, as the picture puts it, a land uninhabited, so that we can say our sins are gone and gone forever. Now, that is what the consecration of Christ led him to do. That's why underneath you have those lovely curtains of goat's hair. But they were hanging down a little to remind the priests. Every time they went through that door, they'd see that span of black curtain up there. Would it not be reminded? I in myself am sinful. I in myself could never enter into the holy presence of God. But another has taken my place. Another has died for my sins. Another has put those sins away. And you put back that curtain, that layer of curtain, and you come to that beautiful inner set of 10 curtains. Five of them coupled together, and five of them coupled together. Blue, purple, scarlet, and fine, fine linen. Now wait. That's the order that you get it every other place except here. Remember where we first met those colors? Out at the gate, wasn't it? Blue, purple, scarlet, fine, fine linen. Why? Because he had to come from heaven if he was going to be our Savior. We saw those colors at the door, didn't we? Blue, purple, scarlet, fine, fine linen. We'll see them again in the veil when we study that. But the Spirit of God, who guided so accurately the writers of our Bible, look again at that first verse and see what comes first. Fine, fine linen first. Then the blue and the purple and the scarlet. Why? Who alone saw these curtains? Are you keeping the picture in your mind? Who alone saw these curtains? You say, God saw. Yeah, God saw them. God saw past or through the badger skin to the ram skin. God saw through the ram's skin to the goat's hair. God saw through the goat's hair to these beautiful curtains. Was God the only one that saw them? No. Suppose you were a priest in Israel. You have been to the altar. You came through the gate. You've been to the altar. You've been to the laver. Now you stand at the door. You push it aside. And you enter in. And I believe it must have been a tremendous thrill to every priest in Israel the first time he stepped through. He'd find himself in what I've been calling the golden room. But I mustn't get lost in the details of that tonight. Beautiful though they are. He looks up. What does he see? What we would call the ceiling. There is the fine, fine linen, the blue, the purple, the scarlet. That lovely needlework curtain forms the... Who's he looking at? He's looking in figure. He's looking in type. He's looking in symbol at the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't he? Now, he may not have known that. We know it. And so as we look up now to glory, who do we see? We see the same one we met at the gate of salvation. We see the same one who's the door into fellowship with God. And he's still a man. That's why the linen that speaks of his perfect humanity comes first. Young preacher sat in my living room. Sometime the past year he told me about an older man, a preacher that I know, and he said he denies there's a man in the glory. I said, now stop. Repeat that. He repeated. He said he denies that there is a man in the glory. I said, are you sure of that? He said, I sat in his living room and talked to him for 2 hours about that. I said, calling this young preacher by name, Robert, that is the rankest of heresies. I said, I would not fellowship for 1 minute. I have known this other brother. in the human area a lovely man. I would not fellowship with him. I could not sit at the Lord's Supper with him. I would never be on the same platform with him. A man who denies that my Lord is a glorified man at God's right hand. To deny that is the rankest of heresies. Yes, you look up in the golden roof, and there's the same one you met at the gate. You know, brethren, I met him 52 years ago. And if I meet him tonight, if I'm raptured, or if I'm taken the under roof, I'll meet the same man that I met 52 years ago. But in all of that beautiful curtain, there was woven with needlework the cherubim. Now, I can't go into that in detail. You'll always find the cherubim associated with the presence of God. When we get into the holiest of all, we'll see the cherubim over the mercy seat. They always seem to be associated with a manifestation of God in authority and government. This is the same man that I met at Calvary, but he's glorified now at God's right hand. He's in the seat of authority. He's in the place of power. He's in absolute government. The same man. God said, Moses, you tell those workmen and workwomen, when they're making these lovely curtains, to fasten five of them together. We're not told how they were to do it. Fasten another five together. And then where you get the two sets of five together, you put 50 loops of blue. Right down. You women can think of that. 50 down the edge. Then you take some gold and make 50 gold. They're called tashes here. The word simply means a clasp. Some kind of a golden clasp held them together. So that was one tabernacle, it's called. And so we have our Lord Jesus Christ. There's so much more I'd like to talk to you about, but time is more than gone. But think of yourself in that holy place. Because God, as you know, has made us all priests. We have access into the presence of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We look up. We see him in his fourfold perfection. There in the glory, the heavenly one, the royal one, the suffering one, the perfect man. We see him in the glory. We look through that, as it were. We see him as the one who put our sins away. We look through that, and we see him as the one who is totally dedicated to the will of God. Someone comes up to us and says, Jesus Christ was just a man. Say, my friend, you've never been in the golden room. I used to argue with them. Used to get my blood pressure up a little when they talked like that. And I'd quote this scripture and that scripture and the next scripture to them, you know. And felt almost like forcibly getting them to agree. All that I say now, friend, you have never been in the golden room. When you get in the golden room, you see more than the badger skin. You see all the beauty picture. That's what I want to try and get you, dear Christian. In these studies, I want to get you enraptured with the Lord Jesus, the altogether lovely Father. Father, bless thy precious word. We thank thee for thy dear son. What heights and depths of glory and beauty and loveliness there are in him. And we know so little about thee, Lord Jesus, but we thank thee that we shall have all eternity for thy loveliness to be revealed to us. And so we ask that thou wilt just bless our studies together tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.